Welcome to the Your Dream or Mine podcast, the place to be if you dream of living a life of fulfillment, freedom, flow, and most importantly, fun. I'm Laura Cruz, the Dream Transition Mentor, the creator of the unique six-step Dream Transition Method, which will take you from idle daydream to transitioning into your wildly successful freedom-based business. Listen to inspirational stories from women who have been brave enough to take the leap from corporate and now live the life they've always dreamed of. Women like you and me. They did it, I did it, and you can too. Grab a cuppa, find a cozy spot, and sit back and enjoy the episode. My guest today on the Your Dream or Mine podcast is Claudia Matura, who I met through a LinkedIn connection. So if you are ever doubting that when you connect with people on a platform, whether it's actually worth it, it absolutely is, because Claudia and I came across each other, Start Talking podcasts, and here we are. I was on hers and now she's on mine. Claudia is a learning and development manager, the creator and host of the And Happiness podcast, and a soon-to-be-published author. Welcome to the podcast, Claudia.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. And what an introduction. No pressure now.
Yeah, fantastic. I really love the fact that we did connect on LinkedIn. I make no secret of the fact I don't love LinkedIn, but I'm making myself do more on the platform. And honestly, kind of connecting in with you and having a conversation was amazing, because it just shows, I know this sounds silly, but the power of connection. And actually, you know, the fact that you work in learning and development, which is what I always worked in, and, you know, the podcast, and yeah, just great. So it's really lovely to have you here today. Now, if you're listening to this, if you listen to the podcast on a regular basis, you might think, but Claudia, you said Claudia's got a job. What's that all about? And Claudia, you have a real mix in your life, don't you? You have your corporate role, then you have the business side of things. You have the podcast and the book that you're writing. How did all of that come about? Talk to us about how that kind of took place.
Yeah, and I really understand the kind of, how's that all possible? And I think it's very much, I'm a dreamer in a sense that I like getting interested in lots of different things. And that always has been my, say, kind of advantage, that I'm so curious about things and about learning. On the other hand, a little bit of a curse, because I have lots of different projects and sometimes trying to juggle them gets a little bit, you know, challenging. But generally, I would say that I always work in learning and development, because my background is I'm a work psychologist. And the moment I graduated with that degree, I wanted to empower people to learn in the workplace. And very quickly within my career, I realized that one big component that is often missed in the workplace is actually a happiness of people, so that the company can thrive, they can grow, but also they can innovate and they can really make the positive impact in the world. Back in the COVID time pandemic, I'm mixing the years. I'm really like, you know, it has been like a memory. Sometimes we try to forget. I lost my job. And during that time, I decided to really delve deeper into the topic of happiness at the personal level, but also professional level. And I decided to think about science of happiness and think about and challenge it a little bit by applying it in my life and actually say, well, this is all wonderful, grand research, but so what? How does it actually work? And how we can be applying it in daily, busy, hectic lives. And as part of that, then I have created a podcast, And Happiness. So it is an alphabet of happiness. So I would take a big concept that we often hear about, it like acceptance, accept your emotions, and happiness. What does it actually mean? What do we know from science, but actually what does it mean in practical basis? And through that, I start developing that brand and just working on the book, as you already mentioned. So that's why I took that route. But then I really was missing learning and development and connection of a bigger organization. So I went back into employment, and now, and happiness is my kind of, let's say, a side hustle, if you like.
Yes.
So that's really my story.
I love that, though, because I think certainly in the kind of economic climate we're in at the moment, people might think, oh, you know, Laura talks about setting up her own business, like, you know, setting up your own business. Why would you do that when it's uncertain times? Now, I've actually just had a client in this afternoon, and I was saying, I'm not suggesting there aren't difficult times, because there are, but a lot of it's being kind of fed to us by the media and making us kind of feel much, you know, more stressed out about things. But, you know, the reality is that things have gone up, interest rates have gone up, energy bills have gone up. You know, there are these things to be taken into consideration, and no amount of positivity can get away from the fact that, you know, I overheard a lady in a shop the other day saying that her mortgage had doubled. You know, no amount of positivity can get past the fact that she's paying twice what she was paying. So there might be people that think, oh, well, this is not the right time to start something up for myself. As I call myself the Dream Transition Mentor, I'm not suggesting that you kind of quit your job on a Friday and then, you know, the next week you've got a successful business. It takes time. But what I really liked about what you're doing is that you've kind of got your foot in both camps. You've got the bit that you love and the bit that you enjoy, but you've also, in the corporate sense, but you've also got that other bit, that side hustle, which who knows where that's going to go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's they both kind of feed in into each other in a very, very interesting way. So many times I'll meet inspirational people like yourself, Laura, and I'll go back to my learning and development work, which is all about making sure that we have happy employees, but also making sure that our employees are developing their skills. And I will feed back that knowledge in through our training, through conversations, through coaching, through mentoring in the organization. And vice versa, I might be working on a very specific learning and development project. And then I'll think, oh, that actually is really interesting thing that I could dive deeper via the podcast and explore the science behind that. So for me, those two aspects are complementary in a way, and they both benefit from the fact that I'm doing both aspects. It's always, I think that's the biggest kind of, I think the biggest aspect for me, that this is complementary. And therefore, it's so rewarding on both levels.
Yeah.
The biggest aspect that is rewarding for me being in the L&D aspect and kind of in corporate role, yes, there is the financial stability, which you mentioned. But for me, it was very much about a connection with colleagues and the kind of bigger impact you can have. I actually was running my own business many, many years back, a training company. And I felt a bit lonely. Probably I would have done things differently now, knowing what I know, because connection was very important for me as a value, and I haven't really realized that. So I think the connection, the impact that I get at the current corporate work is something that I find really rewarding. But then again, I love the freedom and creativity I get in my side hustle when I can create something that is my own. And that's really important for me as well. So I think it's thinking about your values and then trying to see how you can try to meet values maybe in different places. I personally think it's really difficult to meet all your values and get all the happiness from one place. And I think it's lots of pressure then, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a family, whether it's starting a business, whether it's having a fulfilling work or a specific lifestyle. I think if you kind of invest in one path and you put all the pressure to get happiness from that, that can get quite tricky. That's a lot of pressure. That's lots of expectations. But if you have the expectations spread out, I think they're just more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Really interesting. I totally relate to what you, the thing about connection. That's why I set up my networking group locally, because I wanted to see people. That's why I've got my the Dream Life Academy in my community, because I wanted connection. I missed that. And because learning and development is so much about people, isn't it? I know HR is about people, but I always think learning and development is the reason I always love learning and development, not generalized HR, is because it was about all the positive bits of people. Generalized HR is sometimes all the kind of difficult bits, isn't it? Whereas learning and development is like all the positive kind of like development, looking forward to the future, goal setting. Oh, I just loved it. So yeah, brilliant. So there will be people listening that are thinking, well, Claudia seems like she's got a lot of time. You know, she's got a lot of time to do all these things. The people would often say that they don't have time to do anything extra. They, you know, they don't have any extra space in their day, in their week, in their month, or in their head, perhaps, for anything else. So how do you manage that?
It's a very interesting question. And I must say, I don't have a golden solution here, but I will share what I've learned and what I'm still learning. So first of all, I really dislike the phrase work-life balance.
Yes, because me too.
It's because you see, Laura, I have so much in common.
Yeah, we do.
Because it really feels like, yes, there is a balance and you have to like be juggling everything to the same level all the time. I prefer the phrase much more like work-life fit. And that is, it's about fitting different puzzles all the time together, to get the specific outcome that you want. A few things that contribute to the fact that I'm able to do both is that in the work-life fit, you really need to be flexible all the time. So being very rigid with yourself doesn't really help. So for instance, if I would say to myself, okay, if I don't do, today I need to do this certain amount of stuff on my podcast or my promotion. If I say that, then that becomes, I get very stressful because there might be something today at work that, you know, takes that energy and focus away.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So what I try to do is have those little puzzles and little intentions on a weekly basis that, you know, this week I would like to achieve 3 small things in relation to my And Happiness podcast. And it doesn't really matter where they kind of happen, but this is the kind of my intention. So giving myself that flexibility of a fit, and then kind of judging the situation, whether it can happen or not. Also, and I think we don't speak about it enough in society and the media, I fail lots of times in terms of kind of keeping my promises. But also, the fact that I do that side hustle, that means I sacrifice something else.
Yes.
So I sacrifice going to the gym every day. I don't do that. Because I decide that I spend my mornings, early mornings, on writing my book or working on my podcast between 7 and 9 before I start my work. I sacrifice, you know, what time I get up in the morning. Sometimes I sacrifice some extra activities that other people may be doing because I decide to do this. In terms of the kind of work, again, I'm very lucky in a sense that I work in an organization that, yes, I have standard working hours, but it's also about the hybrid working, and it's also about specifically achieving the goals. So I have some flexibility there in terms of, you know, if the goals are being achieved, the fact that, for instance, I'm having maybe a bit longer lunch break, or I'm getting half an hour to have a conversation with you, Laura, in between all my other priorities, that's okay, because I am reaching my objectives and goals. And of course, if I need to stay longer or I need to start earlier, that's not a problem for me, because it's more about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
But I think it's understanding that when we say I don't have time for something, what we mean is that that one thing is not a priority for me.
Yes.
Because I'm prioritizing something else, and that's okay. It's just being honest with it.
Yeah.
And the work-life fit, this week it may work, next week it may not. That's okay. It's understanding that, you know, being kind and compassionate to yourself about it. There is an interesting piece of research that shows that we absolutely overestimate how much we can achieve in one day. That's why our to-do list never gets, you know, managed. Yeah. But we completely underestimate how much we can do in 1 year.
That's interesting.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So when you think about your 1 year and you think about reflect, you think, oh my God, I didn't realize how much I have done. But in 1 day, we feel stressed, we're not doing enough. And that's just like a perception kind of trick that our brain works on, that our brain has on us, I guess.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. You're so right, though, because when I was wanting to go out on my own, I talked to my company about the fact that I wanted to leave. So this is back in 2019. So a year before the pandemic. And I did a qualification in coaching, which they funded, which was amazing because I was still leaving, and they funded me to do this, to do a master's level certificate in coaching, because I'd been coaching for years, but I wanted certification. I wanted proof so that if I was ever, you know, nobody's ever asked me, but if anybody ever asked me, I've got my certificate to say that I'm, you know, qualified at what I do. But I was doing that as well as working 4 days a week with the kids, stepchildren, renovating a house, plus doing a couple of like business programs, as in how to run a business. I was doing all of that. I mean, I'll be honest, I did cry quite a lot. It was quite a lot of hard work. And I didn't always get the stuff done, but I did get it done in the end.
Mm. Yeah. And I think it's having that self-compassion and understanding that, you know what, like, unfortunately, I mean, we all would love to be super women being able to do everything, but it's just that self-compassion and empathy that, well, if you want your kitchen renovated and that's what's important to you right now, you probably should not be also looking for a job, starting a new business, writing a book, because that will take your energy and attention, and that's okay. Other things will need to wait. Or you can do just a little bit towards them. A little bit of a puzzle can fall into that. So it's just having realistic expectations. I think if we want to achieve everything all at once, that's when we start being burned out. We are getting very critical of ourselves. We feel we are not good enough. And you're getting into that negative spiral, which is not going to support you with any goals you have. Yeah. So I think being realistic and understanding that if that's what you want to happen, then something else has to unfortunately give in.
Yeah.
And also being honest, I guess, with your employer. This is what I've done. My manager, my organization is very aware that this is my passion. They know I'm doing this. This is nothing of a conflict of interest to them.
Yes.
It's not like I'm taking away in any way anything from them. They value the fact that my learning outside of the podcast comes back to the organization, within the podcast comes back to the organization. And they are happy to have specific conversations about flexibility around that. And I'm very transparent about that. Mm. I'm very transparent about that. And to be honest, from my employer perspective, is if I'm happy and I'm delivering, then they're happy with that as well. And the fact that I get energy out because of the podcast, it's something very positive. So if you look at resilience overall as a concept, if we would come and measure that for you as an individual, there are certain specific aspects that we would measure. And one aspect, there are two interesting aspects within, I think there's five components, but two are really interesting and relevant to this conversation. One is how good you are how confident you feel when asking for help.
Right.
So we think resilience is like put a brave face on, keep going no matter what. Yep. But actually, no, resilient people know when they need to ask for help. And that means having those transparent conversation with your employer of what's possible. And secondly, and the second, the kind of second component, which is really interesting out of the five, is about where do you get your energy outside of work? What fuels you so that you are able then to face certain challenges that are at work?
Yeah.
Because yes, there's lots of positive things, but also it's not always positive. And we all have good messages at work. So what you're doing outside of work can actually fuel your resilience. And I think understanding that is very important.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Your bit about being transparent is really important, isn't it? If you are to do something else, because some roles, there will be a conflict of interest clause in your contract or whatever. So you do have to be careful. So for me, when I was leaving my corporate role, I because of the good relationship we had, they asked me not to kind of talk about my own business until I'd actually left. And because they've been so great to me, I did that. But it depends what you do. It depends.
Yeah.
And I think the transparency, like I was, you know, I was still doing work for them last year on a freelance basis because such a great relationship, which is, you know, testament to the fact that I'd been there 5 years and the great relationship I had with my boss and with the kind of senior leadership team. So it was, yeah, it was fantastic. And they really supported me. So do you take like aspects of your corporate role into your own business then? Are there things that you do in your corporate role that you think, oh, that really helps me in my side hustle or that, you know, guides me or supports me?
I think the biggest aspect is that is the strategic thinking, really. So when you work with very diverse colleagues in terms of their experiences, their backgrounds, you learn from people so much.
Yeah.
And if you work for a big organization, then you have that exposure. And I think the most skills that I'm gaining, the kind of the more the most important skills that I'm gaining at said at work is that strategic thinking, is that forward thinking that then I can apply in the implementing into end happiness as a small side hustle. So I think that's, I would say, the biggest aspect that I can transfer.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's a, I think there's a real advantage sometimes at working in bigger organizations because you do get such a mix of experience and viewpoint and, you know, attitude and yeah, energy. I love it. I love it. So what, like, where are you with your book, Claudia? Like when's that, what's that looking like and when's that going to kind of emerge into the world?
Oh, you know, this is like ongoing project. I'm hoping that possibly end of this year, maybe beginning next year. I'm almost there with writing it. So I think, yes, it is on the horizon. In meantime, I think if anyone is interested in the science of happiness and looking at some happiness hacks, then listening to the podcast, it's a good idea. I also have a free online email course, so you can just sign up to that to find out more. And I also have a monthly pod letter when I speak about certain aspects of the concept of happiness. And I hope that my really what I'm trying to achieve with the content and what the book will be also about is to explain the big grand research, as I mentioned, and really make it applicable to daily life. But for people who are starting a business or running a business or scaling up businesses, I think it's really understanding that happiness, it's a very important matter in the workplace. And if it's not addressed, then it's very costly because you will find yourself in situation of poor retention, working with people who are maybe not the best to work with, let's say, and have a negative impact on team dynamics. you will have, you will find yourself really struggling with those costs if you don't address the aspect of happiness in the workplace.
Yep. Yeah, so true. So just before we started recording this, I recorded my episode that goes out on Friday, and I've called it Be the Boss You Never Had, because I think that when you are a product of your experience, right? So you see things in other leaders around you and you think, oh, I either like that aspect of them or I don't. So you either, you kind of put it in your like leadership toolbox, or you think, you chuck it out and think, I don't like the way that they've treated that person, or I don't like the way they react to that, so therefore I wouldn't do that. And then, but I've, in the episode, I talk about applying that to yourself. So actually saying, like, being kind and empathetic. So even if you don't have a team, be the kind of boss that you wish you'd had. Do you know what I mean? Like, where you are, you know, you want to make yourself happy. You want to be empathetic and kind and show recognition and respect.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is really, so again, happiness may seem like a very vague concept. What is happiness? You know, oh, let's just be happy. And why? And yes, I want my colleagues to be happy, or I want myself to be happy, but what on earth, you know, I should be doing, or how to do it. So I think if we think about organizations, there are specific components for people to really consider. And it, as you said, doesn't matter if you have a small team of two, it doesn't matter if it's just you, it doesn't matter if you are managing a team of hundreds or thousands of people, the concepts still apply. And the specific concepts to really think about is, first of all, autonomy. So we know from research that people who feel they have more control at work, they feel less stressed and they feel more satisfied. It's actually not a surprise if you think it's like, oh yeah, common sense. Of course, if I can be making my own decisions, if I can be influencing things, if I have freedom to innovate, pilot different certain aspects, then of course I'll be happier. And yet we see so much of micromanagement in the workplace.
Yes.
Yeah, of people not delegating, of people micromanaging, and therefore losing the talent. So, so feels like, yes, of course, autonomy is so important, and yet we see sometimes opposite. And I think also, coming back to what helps me managing kind of both hats, is the support, is learning what to delegate, and understanding again that we cannot, if we want to be successful in whatever we decide to do, without support of other people and delegation, it's really difficult to get there. It's just, it's really difficult. It's much harder. So autonomy, think about how you're designing jobs, think how you're managing your teams, think how you're managing yourself as well in that respect.
Yeah.
And how much autonomy and influence you have in the organization you are in. Then the second one is mastery. So we humans are very ambitious and we love to use our strengths and our skills and the things we are good at, because that really makes us really happy. So there is so much amazing research that people who use their strengths daily, they're 6 times more productive at what they do. And again, not very surprising, because obviously they're very good at something, so they're efficient with it. So obviously they are able to be more productive. But also if you give people opportunity to use their strengths, then you can really decrease burnout, stress, depression. Because again, that idea of being good at something boosts our self-belief. It helps us to manage change more effectively, and it helps us to be more resilient. So think about how you're using your strengths and how you're creating opportunities for other people to use their strengths. The third one is purpose. So obviously the big why of the organization. Are you connecting with the values of the organization? Are you creating organization that stands and it's in line with your values? Really important. Again, people don't change their behaviors and mindset unless they understand the bigger why and the bigger picture.
Absolutely.
And again, if you want to get customers and clients, they need to understand what are you offering and why is that important. So the big why, really interesting. I think sometimes, again, oh yes, we all know about this, but we rush to go into implementation without the kind of vision and mission and values and behaviors.
Yeah.
And the final one to consider is that connection. So I've just seen a very interesting statistic quoted by Harvard Business Review that unfortunately, only 3 out of 10 people have a good friend in their workplace.
Oh.
And yeah, 3 out of 10 people. And actually, we know from research, so Professor Robin Dunbar was actually one of the people who came to my podcast to talk about importance of friendships. And he says that the biggest actually predictor of our health and even how long we're going to live, and I will repeat that, how long we're going to live is actually the number of quality of friendships we have.
Wow.
Which is just mind-blowing. And if you have good, you know, friends and you have good, positive relationships in the workplace, you'll be just more engaged. The biggest demotivator for people in the workplace is actually dissatisfaction and having issues with their boss or coworkers. Personality clashes, difficult boss, that really kills the happiness of the organization. And we need to really think about that connection in hybrid, because hybrid shows that it unfortunately increases loneliness. Because we are disconnected.
Yeah.
We don't have water cooler moments anymore because we
are there. Exactly. Yeah. So interesting.
So you need to really think about those connections. So, you know, and then of course we have fairness, you know, pay people fairly, treat them fairly in terms of the legal requirements, etc. So of course that's really important as well. But once you get that down, the logistical, legal, pay aspects, it's really important to think about that autonomy, mastery, purpose, and connections in relation when you're setting up the business, when you're setting up a business. And the sooner you do it, the better. Because it's really hard if you're then scaling up to go backwards on some of the bad practices or cultural issues that are happening. That being created that actually lead, unfortunately, that can lead to disengagement and dissatisfaction.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. So if you, you know, if you're starting your own business and you believe that you're going to have employees and you're going to grow it, you've really got to get that kind of values piece and that engagement and communication piece sorted at the beginning.
Yes.
Fascinating stuff, Claudia.
And I'm just going to quote Nick Marks, who is a happiness statistician. And again, just was one of my guests. And he has this lovely quote, which said, lovely quote, but quite harsh. But he says that miserable people do miserable work.
Oh, yes.
Harsh, but.
Yeah, but true. I'm a happy person, Claudia. I'm a happy person. I do happy work and I love it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking to you. So I will pop the link to the Anti-Happiness podcast and your website into the show notes so people can come and find you. And if you look closely, you'll see that I was on Claudia's podcast the other week talking about trust.
Absolutely. And such amazing episodes. So much to learn from Laura in terms of how do we build trust and how with others, but also how do we build trust with ourselves, especially if you're leaping into something new and unknown. So yes, check it out.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the Your Dream or Mind podcast with Laura Cruz. If you enjoyed it, could you do me a favour? Please leave a review and subscribe. This helps other listeners to find the podcast much more easily. If you're ready to create the confident mindset you'll need to start your transition into your own dream life, then come on over to the Dream Life Academy, a mindset coaching program and community all in one. It's absolutely the best place to be amongst other brilliant women who are creating and living their own dream lives and businesses. See you next time, my fellow dreamer.